Hey everyone, welcome back. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it so, so much. We hope you're enjoying the episodes. I just wanted to have a little prelude to this one. This one was recorded pre-COVID with Michelle in the basement of the Compassion House. So we're really excited to share this special place with you guys. Enjoy the episode.
You're listening to the Love Yegg Show. If our city could talk, these are the stories it would tell about the people, places, and passion in Edmonton. We interview difference makers in our community. Please welcome your hosts, Sherry Beauchamp and Jesse McCracken.
Welcome back to another episode of the Love Yegg Show. I'm here with my co-host, Jesse McCracken.
Hello.
And today we have ventured out to this really amazing place that prior to being here, I probably drove by this place like 100 times and didn't really realize it was here until we started to learn more about Sorrentino's Compassion House. So we're here with Michelle from Sorrentino's Compassion House. Hello, hello, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for having me on today.
We are, so I think the Compassion House was one of the very first charities that we really started working with. Mm-hmm. You guys do the Fashion for Compassion Gala. That was super fun. We had a group involved with volunteering for that. Mm-hmm. You guys obviously came and spoke at one of our events. My son heard about you guys and loved the idea. You guys welcomed him here to play the fiddle around Christmas time. So that was a super treat for him. He likes to do little concerts. So anytime he has an audience, it was amazing.
They loved it. They absolutely loved him here. So anytime you guys want to come back.
Oh, if he hears this, he...
Like every weekend, he'd be like, Mom, they said I could come back.
Yeah, we're basically back, just so you know. we were chatting a little bit before we got started here, and you were saying that you're actually new to Edmonton.
Yeah, my husband and I moved last year in April. So coming up on a year here in Edmonton, and I started with Compassion House Foundation in August. So it's been a fairly easy move for us. We came from Regina with the new chief of police, and really this has just been such an incredible opportunity for us. Obviously, Compassion House is an incredible organization, and I feel really blessed to be part of something that's really bigger than myself, and being able to have the impact that we do across central and northern Alberta, as well as Saskatchewan, British Columbia, the Yukon, and Northwest Territories with the women and the families that stay with us. But also just getting to be a part of the community here in Edmonton, it's an incredibly welcoming city, and it's a very giving city as well. And I think working in the nonprofit sector, I found that really early on in being a part of this community.
Mm-hmm. You said, I hope you don't mind me repeating this, but you kind of said that like moving here, you were like kind of unsure about Edmonton. Like I used to live in Calgary, so I know all the bad things that they say about Edmonton. So you were like really unsure, like if you had good roots in Regina and that kind of thing. And so what, like for real, like what has Edmonton been like for you?
Honestly,
you've been here 6 months, right?
Just about 10.
Yeah.
And I went to high school in North Battleford. So Edmonton was the place that we used to drive to go to the mall and to go to concerts and events and things like that.
Right.
And so this is about 16 years ago. We used to come up and go to the old Rexall. And that was kind of the vision I had of Edmonton. And that's so unfair. But at that time, you know, you're young and you're a student and you can't stay at nice places either. Right.
Right.
We're not going to fancy restaurants. And so I kind of had that whole, is it like 119th Street?
Yeah.
18th.
Yeah. 18th,
yeah. 118th Street. Like that was my vision of what Edmonton was. And really at the time too, downtown was not what it is now.
Yeah.
Right? Like you could roll a bowling ball down there. There
totally.
Was not a lot going on. And yeah. So when we came back with the prospect of moving here, I kind of had in my mind, no, it's not happening. Like you had to really sell me on Edmonton.
Totally.
And we spent a week here. And every time we went out and we talked with servers and said, you know, oh, we're kind of looking at it. There's an opportunity for us. People did the hard sell. It was incredible.
Nice.
I thought someone was paying them because it was, you know, Edmonton's such an amazing city. The people are so great. We get all of these festivals and events and the River Valley. And there was all of these things I didn't know about the city and mm-hmm. this like foodie culture that's here now too. And so I actually got sold on it by the people.
Nice.
And that's how we actually ended up making our decision. So we came up again last February, and that's when we found a place to live and all of that. And then we made the move in April, and I haven't looked back. I did have some anxieties, like sure. I said, you know, when you've lived somewhere for a long time, making that move is hard and not having that network and sense of community. But yeah, being a part of this organization and being able to get to know the community from here, I found people to just be really incredible. And, you know, the rest of it kind of figures itself out. There's plenty mm-hmm. to do here. It's mm-hmm. a big city. But that sense of community for me is what really sold me on Edmonton.
So what can you tell us about Sorrentino's Compassion House and what you guys do here for the community?
Yeah, so Compassion House Foundation operates Sorrentino's Compassion House, the physical structure. Here we have 16 suites for women who have to come into Edmonton for cancer treatment, mm-hmm. Generally from central and northern Alberta. And we serve about 300 women per year. On average, their stay is 5 weeks for radiation, though people come for other treatments as well. And they are charged $35 a night rather than staying somewhere like a hotel where they might be spending $200+ per night. Mm-hmm. The nice thing is oftentimes they have coverage through their insurance or other providers to be able to cover that cost. But if it is over and above what they're able to pay at that time, we never want finances to be the reason why a woman doesn't choose to get treatment. Mm. So we do have the Compassion Fund, which we can pull from to cover all of their costs for being here. So an incredible organization. We have served over 1,600 people since we originally opened. And now that we have 16 suites open, you know, we're basically at full capacity all the time still.
Wow. And also, as opposed to them staying in a hotel, they are surrounded by community and women that are going through the same, you know, struggles as they are. So tell us a little bit about the community here within the home.
Yeah, I think that's really the beautiful thing about it. And it really did take me being here to get it. My office is not far off the kitchen. And, you know, I hear those conversations that happen in the morning over coffee or tea before treatment. And mm-hmm. it can go from, you know, laughter to tears and right back into laughter and hugs. And really the way that they celebrate with one another within mm-hmm. the house is really beautiful as well. You know, when people go to ring the bell, which signifies the end of treatment, and they are heading home, everyone gathers around them and they cheer and take photos. And it really is a beautiful time. And because that's such an important piece, that support, we have actually started doing things outside of the house. So that's why I say we operate Sorrentino's Compassion House, but we also do stuff outside of the house. And one of those things is our weekend workshops. So we offer 4 times a year workshops that are focused on mental health and well-being for women and their families. Because the reality is, just because you've gone home and treatment is over doesn't mean you're mm-hmm. back to normal. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time women go back to their communities and they feel isolated. They don't have that core group of women around them right. that gets what they're going through anymore. And so that's an opportunity to bring them back in to support one another and also get some additional support from someone like a clinical psychologist, like a nutritionist from the Cross, to bring in different partners like the Shoppers Look Good, Feel Better program to make them feel beautiful and to help awesome. Them move forward.
That's so awesome. I think when you walk in here, it's not like you, I don't know what people are picturing right now, but it wasn't exactly what I pictured when you drive by or when you think of like a short-term stay place. You know, you walk in here, it's a home.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally decorated and designed to be like you're at someone's house.
And it's spotless.
Totally.
It is so spotless in here. And it is. It's just very, very welcoming. And I felt that when we first came the first time, but then we kind of got the tour and even the rooms, like they feel like a place mm-hmm. where you really can, you know, recover and feel good and have a good night's sleep and be surrounded by people that care.
There was a lot of intention that went into building this house. You know, mm-hmm. when that idea, it really was about creating a home away from home, mm-hmm. but also a place for people to come together and support one another. And I think that you see that in the construction of the house. It is communal living, right? Mm-hmm. Like you go into the kitchen, but it's big and it's spacious and The idea is for people to come and cook together and take care of one another. And I think for me, one of the best stories I've heard is from a former guest who said, you know, she stayed here. She lives about 3 hours away. And she said her breast cancer was caught early, very treatable. And when she was staying in the house, she actually reconnected with a former friend, someone she worked with 20 years ago.
Wow.
Who was here. She had lung cancer and she was not in very good shape. And she found quickly that this woman was not often coming out of her room. She wasn't being very social. She wasn't eating. They would notice that she wasn't eating. She didn't have groceries. She wasn't very mobile and able to get around. And she was really struggling. And she said for her first stay here, the gift she got from it was the opportunity to help take care of that person. And so they reconnected. They became good friends. The whole group, like they often do, really did come to support her. Mm-hmm. They shared meals together. They cooked for her. They grocery shopped for her. She passed away 5 days after checking out here.
Oh. Wow.
And the fact that this lady had that opportunity to reconnect with an old friend and to be a part of her journey, that is something that she still holds really close to her. And hearing that story and getting it, you know, it's so much bigger than just a place to stay, right? Mm-hmm. It's such a pivotal part of many of these women and the families around them, their journey.
Mm-hmm. So how would somebody that is going through treatments, how do they end up in your Compassion House? And what is the process to find a room here?
So we try as much as possible to do outreach in the local communities with the cancer clinics so that they know about mm-hmm. us and they can refer us to their clients. The best time to book is right away. Mm-hmm. Once you have booked in with the Cross Cancer Clinic and you know when your treatment is going to be, that's usually about 2 weeks ahead of time, which mm-hmm. allows us to accommodate. Like I said, we're at full capacity right now and we have been for a while. We hate to turn people away, but that's oftentimes what happens when you don't plan ahead, unfortunately, mm-hmm. because of the demand. But oftentimes we have the referrals from other women who have stayed here or from your local nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally people find out once they're here and we're able to accommodate them, but it's a little bit harder at that point. So it's so important that we do that rural outreach and that people know that we're an option for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most memorable things for me when I was when we took the tour through here the very first time is they take you into, I'm not sure which office it is exactly, but there's this map on the wall and it has a pin in the map that represents each person that stayed here and where they're from.
Yeah, it was actually a very good tool for us when we did the expansion back in 2010 when that was voted on and the campaign, because we could go into those communities and say, look at the impact that we're having for women in your communities, mm-hmm. right? When this was originally built, we went to Edmontonians and asked them to support. And I think it's great that Edmontonians continue to support us, and that's really important. But the people that stay with us are from outside of Edmonton, mm-hmm. right? At least 50 yeah. kilometers outside. And so that map really shows the areas that we serve and the women that we touch. And we have served over 275 different communities wow. that the women have come from. So we have a far reach. But to be able to go back to those communities and say, you know, in a Grand Prairie, 181 women from your community have stayed with us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, you know, that's impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you know, the people in your community that you love, and they're your teachers and your mothers and your daughters and your sisters. And it really helps them understand the value of what it is that we provide.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, all of us have been touched by cancer in one way or another. So knowing that our loved ones have a safe place to stay and to feel loved and cared for is very important. So which ways can Edmontonians or other communities give back to the Compassion?
Yeah, so obviously we have our big event every year, Fashion with Compassion. We see 600 people come at lunch for the event. We swap it out and we do a gala in the evening. So it's mm-hmm. a big day. Another 600 people come to that. We always need sponsors, so corporate sponsorship, people to come out to the event. We need volunteers. We actually use 70 volunteers over the course of that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the year, really, there's always opportunities to do more around the house. We do have a physical structure that we have to maintain. And so one of the things we were talking about today is even, you know, if there's corporate groups or groups of people who want to come out and paint, to help with spring cleanup, to a lot of those things that you don't think about, but it's the general maintenance of a house that it costs us money, right?
Yeah.
And so what a great opportunity for team building if you want to get your group out and do something, or if you want to come in and cook breakfast for the ladies so that when they get up and they're getting ready to go to cancer treatment that day, they know that they're well nourished and taken care of, and that they have that opportunity to connect with people in the community, and that it really does reduce that isolation too. So there's a ton of ways to get involved. It's not just financial, obviously. We don't get any government funding. We don't get any United Way funding. We do rely on the donations from community members, but there's plenty of other ways to get involved with our organization as well.
I gotta say, I'm not what you would consider like a girly girl, and like a fashion show just wouldn't be something I would typically be into. But we did that volunteer work with you guys. I think it was 2018, and that experience was so incredible. I thought it was beautiful the way that you had the tribute to the ladies, and they walked down, the stage afterwards. And it was just a really cool experience. I think that, you know, for a gala, it was like a different feel. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know, Jesse, if...
No, you know, actually, I volunteered that time with my dad. And, you know, when we came to the volunteering info session, he was the only male here. But my dad, you know, recently had a lung transplant, and my mom had breast cancer. And so he, you know, wants to give back where he can. And so same for him. Like, it was like, you know, I wanted to make sure I was sticking with my dad and protecting him, because it was a pretty overwhelming experience. But even just seeing like how many you could tell that there's a lot of like, you know, male focused businesses there too, like supporting the fashion at the fashion show. And it was just a really eclectic group of people. I was there for the lunch, so I didn't get to see the evening, but it was just, the energy and the excitement, and even just the fashion was like pretty awesome.
It was. It really was.
It's an incredibly well done event. And, you know, the fashion show is, it's
amazing. Yeah.
It's world class.
Yeah.
But the heart of the show really is the women, the special models. So we do have 10 women who are cancer survivors who walk the runway like models. They get to be models for a day. We have them totally taken care of. They got their makeup, their hair done. The bae does them up with outfits. They get beautiful dresses. And then we have escorts for them. It's been ATB Financial for the last several years, where they, you know, pinpoint some good looking guys in the
strut down
in the group. So awesome. And, you know, they have tuxes on, and they walk that runway with the ladies as well. And it's a great day for them, and they love it. And we keep our, you know, the actual program itself pretty tight. You know, we do have a woman share her story at the event, and that's always, you know, probably the most inspiring part. And it always does come back to how important the support that she got from the other women in the house was. You know, at the end of the day, it's not us. It's not the staff people here. It's not the physical infrastructure. It's women supporting women. That's the really beautiful thing here. And it's great to see it all kind of come together on that stage that day.
Yeah. So how did you get involved with the Compassion House?
So I was very lucky when I came in to have the opportunity to sit down with Optimum Talent Executive Search Firm. Just to say, you know, what are the options here? Like I said, I'm not from here. It was a little bit intimidating. Am I going to find work or be twiddling my thumbs, not knowing anyone? And they said, we think you'd be a great fit for this opportunity. And so I went online and I did a little bit of research, and it sounded great. But I thought, you know, you just never know what you're coming into. And so I talked to community members, just people that I had met through my husband's work and others in the community. And everyone had something positive to say about this place. And that's so rare. You know, like, it doesn't always happen like that. You're always going to get one bad story, but everybody had positive things to say about this place. And I thought, all right, I want to take this dive. And I have not looked back. It has been such an awesome journey thus far. I only started in August, so I've been here for 6 months, but the staff here are so passionate. The opportunity to connect with the women and past guests and their families, and to hear how important this place was for them during their cancer treatment and afterwards, it just gives me a sense of purpose and the opportunity to be a part of something that's having such a positive impact for people throughout Alberta. And really, that's my new home, right? So it's been really excellent for me.
That's awesome.
Well, there is, I know that you guys do some work with the Wellspring. Is that as well? Do you, is there some like cohesiveness going on there?
So they do offer kind of resources for those who are going through cancer treatment.
Yeah.
So we will often refer clients over there if there's that opportunity for them, if there's anything that they need. So we don't have a formal partnership, but certainly anytime that there's other resources available in the community, we try to ensure that the women know that that's there for them, especially because they're not from Edmonton, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't know everything that's available. And then really what we do afterwards, understanding that a lot of people are going back to communities that they don't have access to those tools and resources that you might have in the city,
mm-hmm.
and that mental health and emotional well-being are such a pivotal part that is often missed by the medical community, right? Like mm-hmm. we're so focused on physically right. getting you well
yeah.
that we offer those additional programs and services afterwards. And one of them that we're launching soon is our ambassador program. So former guests from the house, when they're back in their communities, they're a resource for those women.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So an opportunity, you know, if you've had a recent diagnosis that you can reach out to somebody who's been through it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking about staying here, you can hear more about it, right?
Yeah.
That it's not, oh, communal living. I don't know if I'm, if that's for me, right? You can learn more. They facilitate support groups and then represent us there in their community. So if there's, you know, fundraising events or media or anything like that, that we have somebody locally that's there. That's one of the struggles for us, right? We're here in Edmonton,
right.
But everywhere, everyone that we serve is outside of Edmonton. And so we want to be able to deliver on our mission and to ensure that the women that we serve and their families as well have mm-hmm. the tools and resources that they need back in their communities, and especially in rural and a lot of the farming communities that might not have access to it, or it might be hours and hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So we're also looking at how we can better deliver on that through the use of technology, things like podcasts,
mm-hmm.
things like doing videos that we engage local professionals to be able to deliver some of that, to have things on our website
mm-hmm.
that individuals and families can access if they're maybe not comfortable going and reaching out to somebody just yet. So we have a lot of things that are coming down the pipe. It's really exciting. But yeah, stay tuned.
I think that's a brilliant way to do it because my dad passed away in 2017 from cancer. And my grandmother, like there's a whole bunch of people I know or et cetera. I think people don't always have the success or the survivor story in their life. So I think that like bringing that to those communities and, you know, showing them what that looks like is mm-hmm. so powerful, even from a healing psychological perspective, right?
Well, knowing that it's okay not to be okay too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay that your new normal doesn't look like your old normal,
mm-hmm.
right? Like this is a time of change. And if you're not comfortable getting back into work just yet, or if life looks a little bit different, your priorities have shifted, that's okay. That's normal.
Right.
Or if you're struggling with body image because mm-hmm. you're living in a body you don't really recognize anymore, mm-hmm. other people are dealing with that too. And I think for a lot of us, sometimes just having peers that you can talk to who get it
mm-hmm.
Makes you feel so much better, right? Mm-hmm. Because you just don't feel isolated and misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
So even if that's just a small thing we can do is connect people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, like I said, we have, you know, over 1600 guests that have stayed with us.
Yeah.
That's our network out there. So we saw it as an opportunity and we're really excited to launch that program.
It's awesome.
Is there a possibility of you guys expanding, getting a larger house or another house, or is this kind of, because obviously 16 rooms that must fill up really quick, and I'm sure that there's a lot of women that unfortunately need to, you know, you have to turn away. But what does the future look like?
Anything is possible.
Yeah,
I can't say for sure at this point. It's something that comes up in discussion all the time. We are at the point where we're turning away around 80 women per year. And that's not even looking at the needs with men.
Yeah.
That there really aren't options for. And that's something I've heard feedback from when I've been out in a lot of the rural communities. And Hinton, I stopped by their cancer clinic and they said, are you ever going to open a men's house? Because we have nowhere to send them.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a conversation that's ongoing. The current economic climate is a tough one, right? It's not one where people necessarily want you to be launching a few million dollar capital campaign. So we're aware of that and we're keeping our options open, but it's not something that's, you know, not on our radar.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you always want to grow. And I mean, I think that's one thing that we're realizing amongst all of the charities that we're speaking with is everybody is, you know, that financial strain right now is a real thing, but the need is growing.
Doesn't change,
right?
Yeah.
And so it's just, like how we all can give back. And I think too, like sometimes just people with open Airbnbs, if they've got rooms open for a period of time that aren't being rented out, you know, to try and open those up for people, and just trying to really tap into some other options for people to have a safe, clean place to live where they can, you know, for the short period of time that they're in Edmonton. Yeah.
What about, like, can we like go back to how did this place even start? How did they think of this idea of bringing women together and having this kind of experience?
It's actually a really beautiful story. It was four women from Edmonton that, you know, they wanted to do something specifically focused around women with breast cancer, but they didn't want to give money to research. They thought, we want to have an impact now for the women in our community. And so they had this idea. They recognized that women, the way that they deal with emotional and crisis times, it's different. And they want to come together and they want to support one another. And they'd had some personal experience with it. And they thought they really came up with the concept. And that's how Fashion with Compassion started. It actually predates the house by several years because it was their fundraiser to raise money for the capital costs to build the house initially. So it's really incredible because it was just four incredible women and supporters in the community that said, this is a need and we need to fill it. You know, it wasn't government coming in and saying, or it wasn't someone else. It was women who really got it.
Yeah, it was a house built on love.
Yes, and that's exactly it, right? Like, it truly is about compassion.
Yeah.
And so the name is so important. And it's amazing to see that, you know, 20 years later, that their legacy lives on through this and they're continuing to have that impact in the community.
That was actually going to be my next question is, what is the legacy of the Compassion House? What do they want that to look like? And also for yourself, you've obviously been involved in a lot of non-for-profit. So what is the legacy that you hope to leave behind? Or to live, even currently. You're very young. You have a lot of life left to live.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's touching these women and their families. It's that when they think back to this place, that it's fond memories. Even though you're going through probably one of the hardest battles of your life, that you look back and it's positive memories from your stay here. Mm-hmm. It's the relationships that you built and the support that you felt and the warmth within this house that got you through. And every time I chat with one of the women who stayed at the house and they give that feedback, I think that just energizes you and makes you think, yeah, we can do this. We can have this really positive impact during one of the most trying times. And I think that for the women who built this house and my predecessors, that was the focus, right? Having that impact one life at a time. And that even though it's an incredibly tough journey, that this is a positive light during that and it helps to get them through.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Totally.
Yeah. Did you have anything else, Sherry, that you wanted to end with here?
What about you personally? Like, obviously the kind of person, typically female, that we've been seeing getting involved in this type of career, right? As in the non-for-profit sector, it's a certain kind of person. And so obviously we've met you here today and pretty obvious the kind of personality. You're very caring and very giving. And, how do you want to be remembered? What kind of impact do you want to have on our city and through the Compassion House, just in general, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, for me, I did not grow up with much. You know, my mom was on and off social services and she left when I was 14 and my dad had some addictions issues and it wasn't the best situation growing up. And for me, I always had that sense of community around me that gave me direction, that I could have gone a different way. But I had kid sport when I was young. And so I was able to play baseball and I played at a provincial level. And then I had, you know, great teachers and friends, parents who gave me a sense of direction and wanting to do something more with my life. And so I went to university instead of dropping out of high school. And, you know, I worked full time and went to school full time. And that was just what it was, right? Mm-hmm. You develop that sense of work ethic. And then I got just involved in one nonprofit as a volunteer and it led to other opportunities. And then when I got into the industry, I fell in love with the idea of having impact in your life, to have real impact. And I think sometimes people think the impact is only with the people that your organization serves. Mm-hmm. But it's as much with your donors and the members of the community who get involved as it is with the client. Mm-hmm. So some of my best memories are working with donors who got to be involved in the organization and see the impact that they had through us and the sense of fulfillment that came with that. And I think that a lot of people are afraid that fundraising is this scary thing, that asking people for money is this scary thing. And I always put it back on them and I say, how does it feel for you when you get involved with an organization that you really care about, that you care deeply about their mission, you know you're making a difference? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I have this sense of purpose. I feel like I'm part of something bigger than myself, right? And I'm like, why wouldn't you think that other people wouldn't want to feel that? Mm-hmm. You're giving them that opportunity. And for me, as a fundraiser and as a CEO and a leader of an organization, I want to give people that opportunity to do something really meaningful and impactful with their life.
Well, it's amazing because I think once people get that feeling, they just can't get enough of it. And then that's kind of where the trickle effect begins. And actually, we do a legacy a juniors event, and where the kids are like, ooh, I like how that feels. And so we're bringing it to their attention at a very young age. And that's what they're going to bring into their adulthood and moving forward, which I think is really amazing. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite events is the kid ones, because they are like so excited to give money back to other kids. So it's pretty awesome.
I get what you're saying about like seeing the donor's experience through their eyes. Like you get to experience that over and over and over. I think it's the same thing with the kids, right?
Yeah.
Like they're so pure in the way that they celebrate it and what comes out of their mouth. It's like totally uncensored and uninfluenced. Mm-hmm. It's so pure. And so to be able to witness that, that's what makes it fun. That's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely.
So what are you looking forward to do most in Edmonton? Is there like you got your eye on like a festival, or like you mentioned the foodie thing? Like,
yeah, I eat out a lot here, especially living downtown. It's almost become too much, right? My husband and I both have pretty busy careers, so we eat out a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and downtown, you have like Boondock and Uccellino and Corso, and there's so many amazing restaurants. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually trying to scale back. That was kind of my New Year's resolution that's gone sideways. But I've really enjoyed getting involved in some of the other nonprofits events too. You know, I had the chance to go to the Harvest Gala, which was amazing. I'm going to the Chamber Ball this weekend, so I'm excited about that.
Well, see you there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there we go. We
friendly
know
faces. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a couple different ones that are coming up. Yes is having their gala in April. I've met their executive director over there, and she's fabulous. So getting to know other people in the industry and attending their events and getting to know their causes and getting more involved. And I'm also actually a mentor through the Peter Lougheed Leadership College. And so I have a student that I'm working with, and she's actually going to come on board to do her stretch project with us this summer. So I'm so excited about that. So yeah, it's like I said, it's been really incredible coming into Edmonton and being welcomed in the way that I have been, and to have these opportunities. So I'm just really looking forward to continuing to build my community around me and to be able to give back to my new home.
Well, I think Edmonton's pretty lucky to have you.
Yes.
We're glad that you landed here. That's for sure. Thank
you. We're glad that you didn't come in April, because that's a tough sell when it's so brown.
Totally. So yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. And we love the Compassion House for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you guys so much for coming out. We appreciate it. And obviously your ongoing support, you guys have been involved for a long time. So thank you. And thanks for giving us this platform.
Thank you.
If you were inspired by our show, please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen, and share with friends. You can always find show notes at loveyegshow.ca. Keep listening.